Hey guys, I'm Lizzie Raven.
And I'm Judy Swartz.
And welcome
to Why We Left.
Slay.
Warning.
Fam, guys, fam, women, fam, children.
Bam.
Bam, there we go. That's what I was
going to say, isn't it?
For yes. Sure. So this morning, I'm so excited about this, but we have Ruben with us. drum roll, please.
Ruby. Yes, her name is Ruben.
I've been waiting for this one for a long time.
Ever Ruby. Since we started the podcast, really. Yeah.
Ruby is just one of the wiser people I know.
Right? So and you don't know how wise she is because she doesn't talk a whole lot.
Exactly. Which
but then when she does, it's just astounding, you know?
It's like...
Okay. Life-changing words.
Yeah. Every time.
I feel like you're hyping me up too much. I'm just a girl.
I'm just a girl in the world. That's all that you'll let me. I'll stop now. I'm sorry.
I'm leaving that in.
I'm asking you not. Okay.
Any chance I get for you to sing and for me to leave it in.
I always make it the most unflattering thing ever, so it's terrible.
It's not my fault you're asking.
Okay. So, should we talk about this off air?
No. Okay, first, I have like a really important question for Rubes.
Oh my gosh, yes, please.
Be honest. Who's your favorite sister?
Well, there's so many to choose from.
It's me, isn't it? I knew it.
Definitely you.
Yes.
When I'm with Edna, I mean, well, having six sisters, I have favorite things about each of you. Well, then,
what a diplomatic answer.
It's already nice. Well, each person serves its function, you know? Not serves its function, but like their relationship is a little bit different. And you're the sister that I see the most often.
That's true. And We used to live together.
And for a long time, like, we were in the same stage of life. We were both single.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my fun. Sisters would talk about babies, which I love and adore, but I can't exchange, you know, the feeding tips and, you know, how to burp properly and the sleep schedule. It's just not.
Right. That's just a life thing in general. It's kind of hard when my friends have kids because I love their kids and I love talking about their kids. But it's also kind of hard because it's like, well, I don't have a lot to contribute to this conversation. Yeah. I just found out the other day that babies can't drink water.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this should be something more people know.
I didn't
like,
know
what if I accidentally gave a baby water and it died? I mean, it's not going to happen now because I know, but I feel like more people should be talking about this. Like, this should just be common knowledge. Babies are not allowed to drink water.
I didn't know that either. Because they just drink milk, and so therefore liquids, they want to electrolytes. I didn't know that either. How old is a baby kid before it can drink water?
I think like 6-7 months they can start drinking water.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. You don't offer a baby just is milk. That's it. And it's mama's full-time job. See, I came into my kids at 4 and 6, and so I never had to learn these things.
Yes, you never had to learn that babies are not supposed to have water.
You just
how nice for you.
Yeah. Or potty train anyone.
Right.
Which I love my kids, and I would totally have done that for them. But I hear it's kind of intense.
Yeah, but is it as intense as, you know, getting married and just immediately having a 4 and a 6-year-old? You know, that's pretty intense.
Well, I couldn't say. It is a lot. It is a big adjustment. But I do think that it is easier and it carries different. I don't think it's the sleep. We don't have the sleep deprivation.
Yes.
The newborn stage so difficult.
Right.
Sleep so.
That makes and sense. Can,
they have a strict, not a strict schedule, but they go to bed at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Dang.
That's why I'm getting rich. I'm going to be like rich. And then I'm going to have babies because then I can just hire someone to stay up with them. And I don't have to do that.
If you were serious, I might be a little upset.
Keep going. Like, you think I'm not serious about this?
We're not the Kardashians here. We're much more ballerina farm people.
Speak for yourself, okay? I am 100% Kim Kardashian.
You said that again. You would never be able to let anyone else touch it for like 6 months.
Yeah.
This is mine. It would be so protective.
It's true. You would.
Mm-hmm.
I foresee this happening exactly 100%. As Ruby describes. You okay. As a mom is going to be crazy.
It's going to be amazing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what it means. Crazy, that's amazing. You're going to be helicopter mom? Is that the term?
You think I'll be a helicopter mom? That's insane.
He might be a little spoiled, but he'll be a good kid. In the best way, you know?
Yeah,
all of his needs taken care of. And you're a very nurturing person.
Thank you! Oh my, no one's ever told me that before. So I just
has anyone ever seen you hold a kid? Like, of course you are.
I saw her hold a kid yesterday.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. No, it was the day before yesterday. My bad.
I do love
You love babies.
I do love a good kid.
And toddlers.
Yeah. And adults. Actually, that's
you just love everyone.
I don't really like adults that much.
You like some of them.
I like a couple.
Okay. I mean, is there anybody out there that likes every single person they meet?
Jesus.
Okay.
Humans. Like Joseph.
You know, just like Joe. You're right.
Our cousin Joe.
Cousin Joe.
She likes everyone she meets.
You lived with her. Tell us, is this true?
1,000. She sees the best in people until they give her a reason not to.
Until they give her a reason not to.
So I think Joe.
Even then, she still gives a lot of grace. Joe's
world to make up for people like me.
Girl,
what do you mean, Rubes?
Yeah, say,
you're so nice. I'm a nice
person. Like, I meet someone, I immediately love them or hate them. Like, I make up my mind immediately. I make a snap judgment. Now,
do you ever change your mind?
Yeah, 100%. I've matured enough to know, be like, okay, calm down, Ruby. Don't make up your mind about someone. You know,
right?
And talk to them, get to know them, and sometimes I'm right.
Yeah.
You're right a lot, for sure.
It took Ruby and I a minute to connect. Like, a long time.
You're very good at connecting with people.
Well, I couldn't connect with you. I remember when the first couple of times that I had a conversation with Ruby, I have to say it was the most awkward thing I've ever experienced.
I am kind of awkward, yes.
100%. But it wasn't just because of you, because we were both trying to make it work.
Like, I immediately wanted to, like, you. Like, Judy knew you liked you. I was like, oh, clearly this is a great person.
Yeah.
Right?
No. Like, what? I can't agree with that. That's so self-conceited. Yeah, I'm a great person.
That's so dumb. I'm just saying, someone that I know and love, Judy liked you, so it was like, oh, probably I'll like her too.
Do
you like each other?
Yes.
I love her.
Okay, so perfect.
I love you too. But I was homeschooled. Like, that's what I blamed the awkwardness on.
Dude, the homeschool awkwardness is real. I just think it's really unfair that some of us grow up so homeschooled and sheltered, and then we are just thrown out into the world, and we literally just have to learn how to have just a normal conversation with someone. Just make some small talk.
We have to grow up in a tiny little bubble. But in our parents' defense, they did not think that we would do that. They thought we would stay in the little bubble. Like,
right.
That was the purpose of the bubble.
It's true.
To protect us and to always be.
I chose to be thrown out into the world. Yes. But, you know, just the whole thing. Just learning how to interact with people.
Yeah.
You're pretty good at it, Jess.
Well, I've had to work on it. Trust me.
See her talk to our customers. She is the most
nicest,
charismatic, just.
I don't know if charismatic is the right word.
You know what I mean?
But you make them feel comfortable. I'm sure.
I hope so. Does. That's my goal.
I feel like that's why
I want them to be comfortable and to be comfortable with paying us lots of money. maybe give me a tip. I don't know.
Do you get tips when cleaning?
Sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. There's like one person that tips us every single time. Mm-hmm. And then there's that one person we cleaned for this week. She tipped us. I don't know if we're cleaning for her again, though. I would love to, but
the old people?
No, Elena's daughter.
I did love cleaning the house. That was
fun. It was a nice house to clean. Yeah, Elena said that they loved it and that they want to have us clean again, but I don't know when.
Do you know what I did? I took a smoothie to that job, and I was like, yeah, let me drink this, like, let me get my protein, whatever.
Did you leave it?
I left it right there. I left it at their house, sitting on their table.
That's funny.
I thought about it, like, right when we left. I was like, oh my god. So that's not a super, I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, I remember seeing it on the table and being like, hey, Lizzie, don't forget your smoothie. Mm-hmm. But you were busy carrying other stuff out the door.
Yeah, and I was in a bad mood that day. So.
Yeah.
No, you have to.
I couldn't tell.
Be honest, though. Feel a little bit.
I actually couldn't. When I clean, I just put my earbuds in and just clean and try to forget that I'm cleaning a stranger's house.
Yeah, almost time that I clean with Jody, there's like a 5-minute period where I'm like, is she mad at me?
I get very focused. I'm just like, let's clean, let's do this, let's get it over with.
Because if you don't focus while you're cleaning, it takes
so long.
Yeah, because then I start doing the same things over.
Yeah, you have to really lock in.
Especially when I'm cleaning my own house, because I don't clean for a living. I did for a minute, actually.
Really?
Yeah, the summer after I left camp, after I finished up at camp, I came home, I took over. I feel like Edna gave me one of her jobs, Sue gave me one of her jobs, because they were both like gone for the summer.
That's cool.
I didn't love it.
I don't love cleaning houses, but I don't really mind it.
It's just work.
Yeah.
Work is work.
Yeah.
I love my drawer. Build holsters so leather's still open. Clean someone's house. And I can really zone because it's very repetitive. Like, you know, if I'm sewing, you know,
right,
the same thing for, you know, 100, 500 holsters. I'm doing the same thing over and over. And I can just put a podcast on and really zone out.
Yes, that's nice.
And you've been working in that field for a minute.
It's true. Almost 9 years. Nine years this person.
So you got everything just like, you know exactly how to do
it. I was thinking about it this week. I was riveted, putting in rivets. So it was like, you know, how many times in the last year? Like, it feels like usually I do a lot of sewing. But this afternoon I got to rivet. I was like, oh, it's nice to mix it up. And I was like,
right?
No, there's five different things. And I just rotate between those five different things.
Yes. Mixing it up. Like, it's just, this is what it is.
Factory jobs, man. You know, there's... very monotonous.
I love it.
Very.
I miss it sometimes. Like, I really enjoy it. I hate to say this on the podcast, but, like, I really miss edging.
Yeah, same. That was really fun. I stopped in at the shop the other day and did it a little bit.
She literally ran over the counter. She was like, let me do this a little bit.
It's really satisfying. It's really fun.
It was my favorite part.
Just shaking the sharp corners.
Yeah, but not at the number two. That is, at the number one where you're like, right when they come out.
I hate that one. It makes my shoulder hurt.
That one will do it for me. I love it so much.
Same.
I like trimming the little, taking my knife and trimming the parts that need trimmed and then, you know, finishing the edges too. But
yeah,
that's really hard on your shoulder
too.
It's so pretty out though. Bart for a walk this morning. We just walked around the lake.
Who is Bart?
She's Jen's sister.
Okay.
She's one of my good friends. He met and took a walk to the lake. Yeah. Ran the park.
Oh, that's so fun.
That sounds lovely. Cane Creek Park?
Yes.
It's gorgeous there.
I do love that park a lot.
Dude, I'm so glad that the leaves are still on the trees.
She goes so fast. I'm not going to lie, my legs hurt, so.
How long were you guys walking?
No, I did legs last night at the gym. They were getting a little sore, so.
Imagine going to the gym. Imagine. That's so disgusting to me.
It's not fun.
Mostly because I'm just jealous.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, I want to be one of those people that goes to the gym.
Yeah.
But
you should come with me and I'll teach you how to do, like, the big lifts. Like,
where do you go?
It's so fun. It's out at Smithville.
Oh, yeah. Let me just drive to Smithville. Every time I want to go to the gym.
Well, you could do it, like, a few times.
I would love that.
Okay.
Anytime.
I don't need a gym membership.
Well, you can do it at Take House, which this one is expensive. This one's like $10 a day.
Okay.
But you could go with Phil. That was cheaper. And if you go with Phil... you might pay for it, so.
Yeah, I don't really want that. Well, Phil tends to pay a lot for me, and it stresses me out.
He's a gentleman.
It took me another homeschool thing. It took me a minute to be able to, which I'm hyper independent too, but it's difficult to accept things, to accept help, to accept things from other people.
It stresses me out.
Especially money, because, like, I know how hard it is to make money.
Precious angel, that one is.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
We'll have him on the podcast next.
I can't wait.
That'd be so fun. Can I just come and watch?
You can.
Yeah, sure. Make it a family thing.
Sure. He is off today. I should have invited him over so he could be on too. Well.
We can do that next week.
Family podcast night.
Am I invited?
Yeah, your family. Remember, we covered this in the beginning.
Oh, yes, six sisters. What's one for?
I'm actually like, I don't think that I, like, I just don't think you guys are good enough for me. So I'm going to have to pass.
There's the door.
Yeah. There's the door, bitch!
You can go.
Whatever. You know that song? Wait, it's like, there, you're like, there's the door. Yeah, there's the door, bitch! This way. Anyways, I'm sorry. No, I love you guys so much, and it's an honor. It's an honor to be a part of something.
The honor is all ours.
Like, what? You know what I mean? I'm about to cry, so we should, like, move away from this.
Crying's okay.
It is. It's okay. I just don't like to do it.
It's harder to do in front of people.
Yeah.
I love crying. Only by myself, though.
I remember that because when you moved in with me and discovered we're so different? Like, the sad emotions, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm so sad. And you, like, were okay with sitting with it, like, enjoying the sadness.
I don't know if I enjoy the sadness, but I enjoy when I can actually cry and release the sadness. Mm-hmm. And then it's gone, kind of. You know? But when you're just holding it all inside, it just, after a while, it's rather unpleasant. The other night, I was watching this TV show, House. You guys know it?
I've seen clips of it, and then I tried to watch the whole, like, watch the TV show, and I didn't love it as much.
Yeah.
But I love the clips of it.
Yeah. Well, I've been really into it lately, but it's about a doctor, and he...
very type A.
Yes, and he fixes people's medical issues.
Okay, that he has no social skills.
Right. It's funny. I recommend it. You guys should watch it. But anyways, on this episode, there was this married couple, and she was, like, 6 or 7 months pregnant, something like that. And she, like, claps, and so they go to the emergency room, And then she has cancer, and then something goes really wrong, and they have to basically do an emergency C-section to get the baby out, because they're like, she's dying, and we want the baby to survive, but, and if we take the baby, like, do a C-section, she's definitely gonna die, but we have to get this baby out so that the baby lives. Yeah. Anyway, and so this husband had to tell them that it was okay to take the baby out of his wife, and, like, basically...
kill her.
Yeah, exactly.
But she would have died. They would have both died.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I was just sitting there sobbing. I was like, oh. I don't usually do that during TV shows, but that just got me. I was like, oh my goodness. Because he was so tore up about it. Like, he would have rather his wife lived than the baby. That's so sad.
The decision, like, I would want my husband to make that.
No, I wouldn't.
Right? Because the lady was like, dude, I don't care if I die. This baby has to live. But the husband was like, but I want you to live. I need you. And she was like, I don't care. I just want the baby to live. And it's like, ugh. What a choice. It was so sad. But anyway.
I understand that. Like, it's easier for me to cry at someone else's pain.
Yeah, same.
Don't we all have a movie that we watch when we need to cry, but we don't, like, really want to?
1,000%.
Yeah, I've never done that in my life.
Mine was...
I don't usually cry during movies.
The Notebook.
Maybe this is a new phase of my life.
The Notebook crying during movies. Yeah. But,
See, that's why I don't want to watch it, because I don't want to be sad and cry.
If I'm feeling really emotional, because I can't reach my emotions easily. Like, if I'm emotional, it's because, like, I'm so overwhelmed, like, I have nothing to do but sit here and deal, like, compartmentalize, and I can just disassociate, that's the word. Disassociate a little bit, like, it's fine, I'm fine. I've got things to do, you know, don't have time for this.
I do that a lot, too.
But if I have time, I haven't done it for a while, but if I have time and I know that, like, I'm emotional and I will feel better if I cry.
Right.
And I watch The Notebook, because it's a good enough movie that, like, I want to see it, but I also know I will cry.
Have you guys watched My Girl? The movie about the little kids?
I don't think so.
No, you should try that one. Because it makes me sob every time. When she's like, where's his glasses? He can't see without his glasses. And he's dead.
That's so sad.
So they took his glasses away. They're at his funeral. And it's this little girl. So it's these two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Little girl. Whatever. And then so he gets stung by a bee. And he's allergic to the bee. But she... what? Okay. Pause. You don't even have to put this in. I actually need to explain this movie to you. So... It's these two little kids, and they're, like, best friends, okay? Mm-hmm. They're probably, like, 10 or 11. And then she loses her ball in the river or something. I think it was her ball. She loses something in the river, and, like, it's by a tree. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want to go get it because she's scared. So he went to go get it for her. He got stung by a bee. And died.
Because he went into the river to get her ball.
Yeah.
That's so sad. This poor little girl.
And then, so her dad owns a funeral home. So he is at the funeral home, and then they had the funeral at the funeral home. Anyways, so she goes into this room, and she just sees him laying in the casket, and he's on his glasses on. And she just, like, starts sobbing. She's like, corpse. And it's so sickening. It's just like, no, like, they're little kids. They're not supposed to have to deal with this.
Right. They're supposed to grow up together and be best friends. Yeah, exactly. And
probably get married one day. You know what I mean? Like, it's so disturbing. Like, it's terrible.
That hurts my heart.
It makes me cry every time.
I'm happy for you guys that you found this
also,
method of dealing with your sadness.
One Tree Hill does it for me too. Every episode, there will be a scene that will make me just sob.
I don't do it very often.
I do it almost every day.
I mean, you do have a lot going on right now.
Well, yeah, it really helps. But
actually, now that I think of it, I haven't really done it since I've gone to therapy. Discovered... I can feel my feelings. I'm more okay with, you know, recognizing what I feel like and dealing with that.
Right. Feeling feelings is hard.
I once I told her, I said, you know, I don't think I have a lot of feelings. I told my therapist this. I was like, yeah, I don't have a lot of feelings. Like, I just, you know, don't have to deal with them. She just looked at me. She was like, I would say that you have some really big feelings.
Crazy. It's almost like you're human.
What? It's crazy. So freaking cool.
Go to therapy, kids.
Yeah, probably you're right.
It would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it just blows my mind.
You're faced with things that, like, you don't want to know and to see. You know, just toxic ways that, like, ways that I relate to people and ways that I'm selfish and stuff to look at.
I mean, that's going to go on a quote on our Instagram, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Do you guys ever feel like, okay, I don't even know if, like, can I share this?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Like, I don't want to be annoying. Anyways, lately, the last couple months, if I'm talking to somebody, okay? Like, even you, if I'm talking to you, if I'm talking to Phil, something like that. And they tell me something that's been bothering them, or, like, something like they're depressed about, or something they're sad about. And I used to be able to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be like, I used to be able to sympathize with that, and like I'm so sorry, and it makes me feel horrible. But like I can't, it doesn't affect me the way that it used to. Like it's just like somebody can tell me that their dad died, and I'm like, no, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know.
Do you think that you used to feel responsible for other people's feelings?
Probably. Well, yeah, that's kind of the way I was like conditioned to be.
It's true, because everybody in your family, every time anything went wrong, they were like, Lizzy, what did you do? What did you, this is all your fault. Like your brother driving away from the gas station with, like, the gas pump still in.
And somehow
and somehow that was your fault.
Well, he said that he was, because I had just left their house, and I took my nose ring out. It was right after I got my nose pierced. I took my nose ring out while I was at their house. And then when we left, I just got it done like a couple weeks before, mm-hmm. so I had to put it back in. And he turns around, sees it, and just takes off. And the gas pump is just still attached to the car. And then he's like, and then I was like kind of laughing. And he's like, this isn't funny. Like the only reason I did that is because that makes me sick.
How could he be expected to control his reaction to something?
Right?
Shocking.
It's so funny, like...
Right? Just absolutely ridiculous.
Just on the fact that you forgot to take that out.
Right? It's like, not, that's fine.
Nobody's gonna, like,
that's,
be mad at you, like...
Right?
Excellent.
But it happened. It's funny.
Just think 2 minutes ago when you were telling us about the movie. And these two little kids that are so sad. You haven't lost your empathy. You're okay.
Yo, okay, but I think it's different because, like, in movies and stuff, like, I can feel that. But if it's, like, a real situation...
Mm-hmm.
Someone is your friend. It's like, I don't know.
I feel that, too. Mm-hmm. That's been happening to me, too.
Yeah, it's not like...
It feels weird.
It's not like I don't care about that person. I really care about them. I just don't know how to feel that. Like, I don't know how.
Same.
I can say all the nice stuff. Like, I'm so sorry. And I wish there's something I could do. But in reality, like, I don't know. I don't feel anything. Like, I don't feel a certain way about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been happening to me, too. It's very concerning.
Are you supposed to feel a certain way about...
You're supposed to feel empathy when somebody tells you about something they're going through. Like, I have before, but sometimes I still do. But there's a lot of times that it sounds awful, but, like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, there's nothing inside of me that's like, oh, wow.
Like, this is horrible.
I'm just like...
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, like...
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for
that. I just feel, it's like, I don't know, it's really bad, and I just feel just kind of dead sometimes. Bad. It doesn't feel good.
Does it feel good?
Like, it feels like there's something wrong, you know?
I didn't worry about it. So, it was different for me because I was that way my whole life. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, I was talking to Dad, I was like, yeah, I don't think I have any empathy. And then I repeated that to Dad, and she was like, I don't know if that's true. But it's just, like, it wasn't true. I do have empathy. And I've gotten more in touch with that. So if I'm talking to someone and I feel that more, what you're describing doesn't sound like... I know both of you girls, and I know that you do not lack empathy, and that you do not need to feel guilty about not being able to cry about someone else's trouble in the moment.
I don't feel guilty about it. I'm just worried about it.
You're worried about it.
I don't like feeling dead inside, you
know?
I think
the thing that bothers me about it is, like, I used to be able to,
mm-hmm.
and now I just can't. Like, it's not like it's something that's always been, and now I'm just worried about it. It's just, like, I used to cry at the smallest things. Just like this is terrible. Right. I'm so sorry that your boyfriend broke up with you. Let me go cry about it. You know what I mean? Which is not that helpful, but it's like, but now, I just flat out, like, I don't even really care. It's just like, I care about that person. I don't really care what they're
doing.
Do you think maybe you're just a bit emotionally exhausted at the moment and you just... Is there a specific incident that's bothering you?
Stunning point. Well, here's one incident that happened. Slightly. Have I ever told you guys how I used to help teach special ed?
Oh, yeah.
So the people who kind of got me, like the people who own the school. So there was just like a private school. The people who own the school and taught the school. My grandma, the other day when my grandma called me, she told me that that guy was in the hospital and he's not mm-hmm. doing well. Like, I felt really close to them. They helped me in a time where I didn't even know if they were helping me, but they were really helping me get through stuff. Okay? And she told me that Joe, who is the guy who is, he's not doing well. And, like, mm-hmm. he's, like, just really, like, not in good health. And, like, he might not make it, whatever, all this stuff, okay? And I was like, oh, that's horrible. But what do you want? Like, I don't know. Like,
so there is nothing that you could, he's in the hospital, he's being taken care of. He has family. You know that he's okay.
Well, yes.
You know that he's going to be taken care of, even though he's not necessarily going to be okay.
Right. It just didn't affect me at all. It's just mm-hmm. like...
Yeah, like, you didn't, just didn't feel any kind of sadness. And, like, you want to feel sad, but you just...
Yeah. And then, like, I really care about those people. Because, like... Right. Like I said. And, yeah, that really, really bothered me. Like I said earlier, even if somebody's talking to me about, like, they had a really bad day, I used to, like, feel that. And I think I'm repeating myself at this point. And, like, and sometimes I don't even really know what to say. Because, like, I don't empathize. Like, I don't know how to. And then I'm just, like, stuck there. And they're like, hey, I'm having a really bad day. And I'm just like, cool. See ya. You know what I mean? It's so depressing. So, yeah. I don't know. But, and it could be exactly what you said. It could just be, like, that we're emotionally exhausted. Because we have had.
It's true.
I mean, you've just here on this podcast, you've had some really intense conversation. Right. Really good. I'd say give yourself some space.
There's definitely times when I do feel a lot mm-hmm. of empathy and sadness for people, yeah. but then there's other times that I just don't. It's almost like it's too much work for me to care. Yeah. Like, that's how it feels.
It is too much work for you to carry it and to feel responsible for other people's feelings or their bad day. You were there. It sounds like you were there listening to them about their bad day. That's
right. Like, I still say all the things that I, like, sound like I care.
Yeah.
Because I do, it's but I just don't feel it.
I care about the person, just not what they're...
Yeah.
Know what's happening.
Yes. It's weird to try to explain.
Yeah.
But yes.
It's very strange.
That's a lot of, oh, I should feel this way, I should feel that way. Feelings just, they are what they are. They're not good or bad. Noticing what's there and being like, yeah, I should feel more so because it is, you know, objectively a sad thing, but... You've dealt with so much.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not a competition. You're not supposed to feel a certain way about. You're not supposed to be able to cry when you hear something. Like, feelings are just what they are. It's not.
Yeah, but I don't have feelings.
Yes, you actually. What feeling? What have we been talking about here? Trust me, when I say, as someone who's sitting here listening to you talk about your feelings, you definitely have. I'm not trying to say that your feelings about this aren't valid.
Right. What?
I'm just saying, as someone who loves you and cares about you and, like, experience, you're doing good.
Thank you. Thanks. Say thanks.
Thank you.
Sleep a lot. Eat some good food. Go with your friends. Sit here and talk about your feelings.
Or lack thereof.
It's just, and I feel like if you listen back to this, you're sitting here telling me about your feelings, about not having feelings.
You got yourself a point there.
Okay. Barb and I were talking this morning, and she said several times, and I was agreeing that, like, healing, it's a process. It's not a place of arrival. It takes time.
Okay.
And we've now said, like,
I guess we'll keep working.
Alexander is a designer.
Is he? I don't know.
What's the other one?
I think so.
I don't know. I don't know who you're trying to.
It's sounding good, okay? Just let it go. Let's go now. I met, like, Alexander Bocelli or somebody.
I have no idea who that is.
Me neither.
Andrea Bocelli is a singer, so that's not who I'm talking about. Somebody who writes a lot.
I recognize none of these names.
She sounded like Shakespeare. No, you didn't. I don't know. I should have just let this one go.
I just read this week The Phantom of the Opera.
How was that for you?
It's kind of creepy, but it's really weird. It's a weird book.
Who wrote it?
It's a weird book.
Shakespeare, right?
Is it Shakespeare?
Phantom of the Opera? Isn't that like a play?
You know, I think it is a play. But let me look. I don't think it was Shakespeare, but it was in a similar time period. I think it was like, no, it's someone named Gaston.
Gaston.
Leroux. He's French.
My bad. I was way off.
Guys, are we making any points in the pod?
No, we're just talking. That's fine.
Good. Like, because I don't want to. Like, I'm enjoying myself immensely.
Me too.
A good conversation. She makes a good cup of tea.
She does.
Yes.
Thank you.
I've never, like, drank an entire beverage before in my life.
Does it make you feel closer to your sisters to also being stay-at-home housewife? Not that you're not working or cleaning, but... do you think?
I mean, not really. It means I could call them more, I guess. But, mm-hmm. like, I don't because I hate calling people.
You don't call me anymore.
That's because you never call me. And every time... Okay. Every time I call you...
You never pick up the phone. You always miss the call.
And you call back, like, 3 out of 10 times.
Here's the thing. It's exhausting for me to call. When I say I'm going to call somebody back, trust, I'm probably not going to call you back.
Yeah, I know this now.
It's not personal. It's just, like, I don't like... But We used to
FaceTime almost, like, every other day.
Yeah, and then we would talk on the phone for, like, hours. But
I don't know what happened. I guess we do see a lot more of each other now because we clean together.
That's true. This happened whenever, like, I was working at Jay's. She wasn't anymore.
So we yes, going through withdrawals.
Yeah.
Because we used to see each other every day at work, and then I left, and I was like, where is she?
I love phone calls. Probably makes me feel passionate.
But... I don't
know. Me. I like them when I'm having them. But trying to, like, get myself to make a phone call?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. You're just at home. See, I call when I'm doing something. I'll call Edna or Di on my way home. Or on my way to work, actually. We discovered that Edna's on her way to school while I'm on my way to work. That
works out. Works out well.
You know who you look like?
Scarlett Johansson. I've never seen who's Ariel. That's one of the Disney princesses, right?
Modern Family?
Ariel from the Mermaid with the red hair.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. I was looking at you earlier, and I was like, she's a Disney princess.
You know, she's like, all the Disney princesses that I could... Ariel's a great one.
It's like one. The red hair, and then the green eyes. It's insane combo, and I just want to make out.
Thank you Ooh, for the red hair.
Oh, yes, you're welcome. I dye her hair for her.
That's amazing. She does. And look, it's sparkly.
The sparkly ones, those are the great ones.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I love that so much.
It's the gray is a lighter color than the brown.
It's like free highlights.
Really sparkling, which is insane to me. I can't do with that.
There's a lot to look forward to in life, and gray hair is one of the things I'm looking forward to.
You were talking about being a redhead, but then you went blonde.
No, I did. I was a redhead for like 2 weeks.
More like 2 days.
Yeah.
It washed out real fast.
It was depressing.
I remember that. That was like a year ago.
I did really enjoy my red hair.
For the whole 2 days you had it.
Yeah.
I loved it, too. You looked amazing as a redhead. I'm glad you came over, like, right after your hair appointment and showed me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten to see it because it washed out so fast.
It was just like a rinse and not a dye.
Well, they did a red toner. But she told me, I was like, is this going to last? And she's like, yeah, it'll last. She's like, it's literally toner. Like, it's going to last. 2 washes later. Right out.
Girl did not know what she was talking about. Did you go to Roots?
Yeah. And I paid like $90 for it.
Yeah, yeah. Roots is really expensive. And okay, well, I'm going back there because my hairstylist that I like is there now. Mm-hmm. She didn't used to work there, but she works there now. But anyways, so I'm going there now. But I got a lot of haircuts there and I didn't like any of them.
But whoever's doing your hair now.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I went to a different salon and found a hairstylist that I love. And then she started working at Roots. So now I have to go back to Roots.
Back to my Roots.
Back to where I used to get bad haircuts, you know?
But you have a good
haircut. I mean, they weren't bad. They just were not good. One of them was really bad. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm so still sorry.
You're still beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't come for us, Roots. Please. We're just living our lives. And you gave us bad haircuts.
Me specifically.
I mean, what is worse for a girl than a bad haircut?
Exactly.
A bad highlight job.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
I was looking at her, too. I got very bad highlights. Okay, the highlights were actually really good, but then they turned green somehow, and that was not good.
That's
there was purple in there.
Yeah.
He used the blonde shampoo.
Yes.
Judy was iconic.
It's, yeah. I was looking at pictures the other day. Yeah. I like the blonde hair.
First she went purple, yeah. And then the purple kind of washed out to green, and then she did more blonde hair.
I wasn't around for the purple, but I've seen pictures, and I just gotta say.
The purple was amazing. I wish it would have lasted longer than a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you...
But it just washed out, and then my hair turned green.
Yeah, I mean,
and then I went blonde.
It was incredible. I love it.
I had to get rid of the green.
I think the green was amazing.
Were you here when she was purple?
No.
When she was purple? I've got to find this picture.
I've seen really pictures, good. And I just, like I said, incredible.
It was my favorite hair. Yeah. I would do it again, except I don't want to go through the whole my hair turning green thing again.
Right, that sounds dramatic.
It was awful. I have pictures of that, too. Okay, but Rubes, I have a question for you. So I remember you talking about, like, how you just felt... kind of, like, ugly when you were a kid because of the clothes we had to wear and just like stuff like that. What did that, like, tell me more about that. That's really sad.
I know, I was a cute kid.
Dude, you were a teenager.
It's just been like, cute your whole life.
It was a little awkward. I was a little awkward, sometimes a little mean, because I didn't know how to be. Yeah, I didn't know how to be.
Didn't know how to be.
Just period. Yeah. Didn't know how to be.
I don't know. Yeah.
There you go.
But did being, like, really conservative affect the way you thought and felt about yourself?
Yeah, of course. I thought it was wrong to think about myself. Like, that was prideful.
Right.
Or maybe just not good. So I was maybe 19 when I realized that I had no self-confidence, no self-worth.
Wow. So how did you go about building self-worth and self-confidence?
I was a Christian at that point, and I knew that that's not how God saw me. So that was the thing I hung on to for years while right. I set about building it, building my self-worth and my self-confidence, and realizing that I mattered and that I was worthy or something.
Right.
So I hung on to that. I read a lot of Psalms.
A lot of Psalms.
Yes. I did a short bit of counseling. Well, I'm not going to call it counseling. I did a short stay a day or two with a woman who had no formal training of any kind. But the thing she told me was, which she was a Christian, and she was, yeah, sweetest. She had me write down all of the promises that God made in Psalms, go through Psalms. I should find his notebooks. So that was really, that was like what I hung on to. It was right. Like, nobody, God thinks I'm worth something. So I hung on to that for years. And that's why I pushed myself to do things outside of, because I always knew I was going to leave the Mennonites, but then I became a Christian. And I didn't want to leave with a bad attitude.
Right.
I guess. And I wanted to do the right thing. So I stayed home until I was 21. Yeah, I was probably 21. I was almost 22 when I moved to South Carolina. And I just did a lot of things outside. Pushed myself. I started over a couple times. Right. I moved to South Carolina. I only knew one person. That was a rough couple of years, which I depended on my family a lot, actually. And that was when my parents were proud of me, were happy with me. Like, for the right. first time in my life.
Because you were doing volunteer. You were a missionary. Yes.
Yeah. And the first time. Probably mom verbalized anything nice. Verbalized. Actually, she didn't say she was proud of me, but she told other people. Just
there you go.
And so I did that, and then I came back, and then I went to South America for a couple months, and then I went to Colorado. First time I really started over. Like, one of my cousins had a contact, knew a couple that needed a live-in nanny. The baby was just a couple months old, and she knew these people and trusted them, so I went out there and moved in with the family. Like, completely wild. Started over in Colorado.
Like, didn't know a single soul.
Didn't know a single soul. But this couple was actually, they actually grew up conservative. At least she did. I don't remember about him. No, he did. It wasn't, like, traditional Mennonite. It was some for off-branch of a church that I wasn't familiar with. So they felt familiar and comforting right. without a little baby. But I started it when I realized that, like, nobody knew me or my family.
Right.
Which, you know, growing up in a bubble, everybody knows your family.
Right. And everybody has certain expectations of you because they know your family. Yeah.
And so I was terrified. I actually didn't enjoy it. I was like, what am I supposed to do? Go out to a bar and make friends?
Right.
Which they took me to church. They took me to their friends. That's like, so they were sweet. Really nice. But I realized I didn't want to start over. And so when Gina called when I was in Colorado and offered me a job, I was like, yes, please. Let me move to Tennessee.
Where you know a couple people.
Yes. And so I moved to Tennessee.
Best decision of your life.
It would be a great decision.
I mean, I think it's been one of the best decisions of all three of our lives. Moving to Tennessee.
Absolutely.
Tennessee is where good things happen.
Some bad things. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
For sure.
Yeah,
I love living here. And then I just, you know, it's confidence, self-worth, it's something you have to work on, something I'm still working on.
It's true. It's something you just kind of build for the rest of your life.
When I'm really tired, when I've been really busy and I'm overwhelmed, those thoughts start to come back. Yeah.
Right.
And my husband right there, and my sisters, I can always call Edna.
Right.
It's the best.
Edna will make you feel better about yourself and about life.
And I can call you, I can call Donna, I can Gina.
And you can call Lizzie.
I could call Lizzie for sure, and she would hype me up. I know she would. If she answered her phone, then she would hype me up.
Yes, exactly.
On a phone in your life. I would love to be a recipient.
You had it right the first time. Recipient.
Recipient?
Do I have it? No, I have it so wrong. Recipient? No.
Recipient.
Recipient.
Recipient. Thank you, Rory. I just forgot how to talk for a second there.
I said it wrong several times. I was like, shit, I forgot how to say it too.
I would love to be a recipient of your calls one day.
Wonderful.
So, would you answer my calls and not Judy's? Okay. I answer Judy's calls.
Sometimes.
I answer her call. If I see that she's calling me and I'm not asleep, I will answer.
It's true. Okay. You never just ignore my call. Yeah. You sleep.
I sleep a lot. If I'm at my house, I'm probably sleeping.
Really? And you live in like an area where there's not a lot of cell service.
Well, I mean,
so in if my you're house. Out and about, yeah, then right. like you might not even get the call.
Like last night,
I love sleeping.
Last night when you texted me,
mm-hmm.
I was like all the way out in the boonies, and I had like no bars of service. Yeah. And then I seen it when I got home, but I was like about to die because I was so tired, and so that's why I didn't respond until this morning. But
no offense taken.
But, like, I pretty much answer her calls every time. No, I do answer her calls when I see them.
Yes, yes, you do.
So, well, don't even try
to I'm glad we took care of that. I'm glad we...
Right.
I'm glad we...
Your friendship is stronger than ever.
Last night when I called her
for it.
She was in the middle of something.
Oh, yes, I was gaming with William. So, I was trying to talk to you, but I was trying to, like, focus on two different things. And then you, like, your phone, like, dropped the call or whatever. And I was like, well, I'm just going to finish this before I call her back. And then I called you back and you didn't answer. You probably didn't have service. Anyway. But yeah, I felt bad because while I was trying to talk to you and I was trying to game and it was not working.
Yeah. It's okay. No offense.
It worked out now.
Yeah.
You know, we got it figured out. Anyways, I feel like we had Ruby as a guest on the podcast and now she's talked like not at all.
That's not
and
true.
You and I have just, and you and Lizzie and I have just been doing all the talking.
Kind of feels like we had her on to be a therapist.
So. Right?
Yes,
right.
I will be billing you. I could just have another
like, joke's on you. I have no money.
Yeah, what do you want from me? I got nothing. I got nothing.
I talked a lot. You do ask me questions about myself, but I warned you. I told you, like, this is how I operate. I'm not very comfortable talking about myself.
It's true. She's not.
Because what if I say something and then you won't like me anymore?
Valid fear.
That's the insecurity.
Right.
We all got it.
It's true.
I've never been insecure a day in my life.
I love you so much.
The feeling's mute.
Can you say that with a straight face, though?
The feeling's mute.
Now that you've never been insecure?
No, because I'm insecure today.
Aren't we all?
I dated a man one time who told me, dead ass, I have no insecurities.
Well.
That's crazy.
Well.
And he was dead serious.
I wonder why your relationship didn't work out.
What's that? That's
crazy.
I'm not seeing anything.
No red flags there.
No red flags. Where are the red flags?
Wait, was this also the guy that said he doesn't have guy friends because other guys are so intimidated by him?
Yes. Yes, it's the same.
Okay,
person.
So is this guy fine? Like, is he okay?
Probably not.
Does he need help? Should we call 911? You know what I mean? Should we?
He's okay. He found someone else.
Is she?
Did he?
No, he just, everyone has. It's just that it's not true. Everyone has insecurities.
Right? Yeah. Some people are aware of theirs and some people
are not.
It's true. But everybody has them.
And it is more difficult because, you know, a multitude of things, but guys don't like to be vulnerable.
All
you know, protectors. And so they need the people that they are taking care of not to see their vulnerability so that they have faith in them to be able to protect them. But this man took it too far.
I would just say
vulnerability that was, is not a weakness.
That was fabulous sentence making right there.
I'm impressed.
Thank you so much.
You speak very well.
I don't know.
What happens if the guy can't be vulnerable, but also he's not a protector?
That's not a man. That's just a child.
I don't know anybody like that.
Yeah, of course you don't. I'm sure. I'm sure you don't know anybody like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's a child.
So, like, what happened to this one?
He needs help.
You know,
and you cannot be the one to help.
Like,
him.
I want to, though. He's, like, such a good project. I'm so sorry. Didn't mean that, okay?
I understand. Yeah. I mean, I feel
that
like all...
That is understandable, 100%.
I feel like all women... Okay, not all women, but there's a lot of women that go through a phase and they want to go out with somebody that they want to fix them, you know? We want to go out with somebody who is like, you know,
bad boy.
Troubled.
Oh, no, I got problems.
Yeah, he's like troubled and has some anger issues and it's like, you know, we want to fix him.
Likes to punch the wall and sometimes likes to punch my face.
Yeah, I mean, if he's punching the wall, eventually he's probably going to punch your face.
Let me just say something. I heard this quote from a friend of mine, actually. He just said this, okay? Just out of the blue said this. And he said, if you want to be with somebody, but you know they have to change, he said, that's not the person for you. He said, nobody should have to change for you to be with them.
Yes, that is absolutely true.
They should be.
You shouldn't be with somebody on the basis of, like, the expectation that
he's going to change.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you accept someone as they are, and everybody can grow.
And you pick someone who wants to grow.
Exactly. But you don't pick somebody that you have things about them that you don't like. I don't know.
What about if I can't like talk today about them?
Then don't go out with them.
But I want him. Oh, I'm not going to, obviously.
Okay.
I'm not even talking about anybody in particular.
Yeah, you're not. Saying, I know. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like most girls have that guy or several guys that they're with that they're just drawn to, and they're like, because they want to fix them.
Do you know what? It's so scary because I know that I have to change, because if I don't, I'm going to find someone who, like, he was at least good enough to, like, flat out reject me. Like he knows. Like, he knows he's not good for me, okay? But, like, one day I'm gonna find someone who's not gonna do that, and he's gonna, like,
right,
just let me, like, go head first into this, and then I'm gonna end up with a situation on my hands I don't want. And so I know that I have to change, but, like,
I don't think it's as much as that you have to change, as that there's just a lot of growth to be
had.
Like, same as everybody else, you know, there's a difference between changing who you are and growing.
Like, recognizing it is a problem, it's like 50% of the work.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're willing to tell Judy that, like, this man is the bad parts about him, like, that's a great start.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And I have noticed, I'm trying not to make this about me, okay, but I have noticed that I'm more quick to point out a man's problems than I used to.
Recognize the red flags?
Like, you recognize the red flags.
Like, I'm pretty good at recognizing red flags. Like now. I used to not be. But yeah. Now I got it.
Like, now you see the red flags and, you know, you keep charging ahead. Like, at least you see the red flags.
This last one, I was like, that was rapey behavior.
Right? I forgot about that. Yes. See how far you have so much growth.
Where would date people who were intimidated, but were just who liked me a little bit more than I liked them. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was in control, and it made me feel safer.
The confidence boost of somebody liking you that you don't really, it's a real, it's not great.
The first couple weeks are great like that, but then it turns into something like I love to love somebody so much. It's, like, not even okay.
Right.
That's what I need. I need to love somebody so much, and then I need them to, like, kind of reject me a couple times. And then I'm set for life. You know what I mean? Set.
Like, you'll be in love with them the rest of your life?
For the rest.
Yeah. Nothing like being rejected to make you just fall in love. Yeah.
You know me.
Yep, I'm relatable. Okay, but do you think guys have the same problem as girls, where they're like, this girl's like, she's got some issues, like, I'm gonna fix her?
No, I think that men who think like that, they're not ready for, they don't want anything serious. Like, that, yeah. So a girl with issues, they're gonna, if they're not ready for a serious relationship, they're gonna, I mean, you're the one that they, because they know that you're not gonna want to commit to anything.
Sometimes a good guy will want to, it's the same but different, but they're like, well, I want to take care of her.
Oh, right. Yeah. I guess I'm not thinking or not meaning fix her as much as I'm thinking, like, change her. Because remember that guy that I was talking to that was like, well, I just don't really like your short hair. Like, he wanted me to change who I was.
You would have said, I'll grow it out, then he would have
wanted to. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'll grow it out, I'll wear skirts, like, sure, let's go.
But
he would have gone, but he wanted me to change who I was, like.
But he was straight up about it.
That's true.
And try to.
Yes, that's true.
But, like, terrible for him. I don't like him at all, but I'm saying, like, good for him for being straight up about it.
I guess.
He's kind of a dirtbag, you know what I mean?
Not a dirtbag as much as just slightly misogynistic. Okay,
and I think that everybody who has ever, like, kind of talked to you and then not ended up with you is a dirtbag.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? You can absolutely think that. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
So, I'm just
so supportive. Yeah, same.
You gotta.
He probably is, too.
No, he's regretting it for sure.
For sure. I was just, like, thrown by this guy. Because it's not like we were actually, like, dating. But he was just like, oh, I just don't really like your short hair. Like, imagine expressing that opinion about somebody, like, on your first date. Like, you give it a month or two. I don't know.
This man wasn't willing to enter into a dating relationship with someone with short hair. Yeah.
Funny story. He's dating a girl. Standards, no, no, funny story. He's now dating a girl with the same length hair as mine.
With the short hair.
It's because he messed with you. That's why.
Or maybe he didn't like me enough to put up with the short hair.
That's not
that's okay.
But he likes her enough, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Just need one person. I have one person now. No one else matters.
Exactly. You know, it's not when somebody rejects you, it's not always as personal as it feels. Okay. Some people just don't go together. And that's fine.
Now that's the truth.
Yes.
And it's not because something's wrong with either of them. It's just they just don't fit together. And it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yes.
I just needed that one confirmation. That's it.
You only need one, Lizzie.
You just need one.
I mean,
if you want
to have two, I mean, go for it, but, or three, but.
Oh, no, I.
Please,
I
please at separate times, though.
Yeah. And, oh, the one guy was my best friend, Alexis Boozy.
Yeah.
They dated for like 7 years.
So,
and I was just a piece of shit. So I was like, who cares? I don't care if you dated my friend. That's fine. I made her cry like 7 times. I was a piece of shit.
But your friends now.
She asked me to mention her on our podcast. So, Alexis Boozy.
We love ya.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Love her to death. So.
Yeah. She sounds great.
She's amazing.
Yes, just, she does sound great.
All of that, like, I treated her like crap. Like, I didn't appreciate her friendship. I didn't appreciate her. Like, nothing. And I just did what I wanted to. And to this day, she's still, like, there for me whenever I need her.
That's awesome. What a sweetheart.
You good. You good. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I got to say. I love her. What's happening to me right now? I don't know. It's probably like, I don't know. It's probably the drugs I do. Is it the drugs?
It's definitely the drugs.
I don't do drugs. Staying's cool. Does somebody want to take over?
No, I'm good.
Actually, I want to get going.
Well,
I don't have time. Now it's your fault, but I don't have time to go get a Halloween costume. Do we have any final questions?
Do you got any, Lizzie?
Yeah, what's it like being so hot?
Wolf whistles all the time.
Like, I sometimes I'll look at you and I'm like,
Well, I gotta have a husband, so that. I have that going for me.
Yeah.
Get to attract someone of equal, perhaps even greater.
No.
Attractive.
No, same. Oh, no. Same.
I've always thought that he was better looking than me.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna disagree with you, though.
I'm gonna say that you don't look at him the way I do.
That's true.
Which is fine.
I look at him, I look at you the way that he looks at you. I love that.
Amazing. I just want to know, I guess, what did leaving the Mennonites / Amish / Charityites, how did it change your relationship with God? Or change your view of God?
Change my view of God. I don't know that he necessarily, because I became Christian when I was 17. And obviously my relationship with God has changed and grown. But I prayed a lot of that before I left. I was 25. Right. Where I took my head covering off.
And even though it's something that you kind of wanted to do your whole life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I decided early on in my teens that all the rules and specifically you have to wear head covering, you have to wear skirts, and you can only wear dresses. I mean, we had some silly rules. Like, you can't, we only plain colors. No, you can't have flowers on your
Yeah. How dare you want to look pretty, you know?
It's crazy.
So I decided, I knew that the rules were something that people made up to something. I knew it was bullshit. I knew that the rules were not, the rules that the church made up were not God's word, and they weren't right and wrong.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to that's do that, amazing. Absolutely. I can understand what people do, where they're coming from.
Oh,
but
yeah.
To say that I have to, or I'm not a Christian, like, that's absolutely false.
Yeah, it's not biblical at all. Yeah.
So that's what the Pharisees did, which, you know, I realized later that's what the Pharisees did. They added rules to God's law, which is ridiculous. So I prayed about it a long time, and the only answer I ever got was, I said, I don't really care whether or not
you're
available. It was like, doesn't really matter. So it did test my faith in that. It was kind of a leap of faith on my part to leave everything I'd ever known. All, you know, growing up, and said, you know, I heard over and over again, a good Christian looks like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I had to believe and have faith and trust that having it, that my relationship with God was what made me a Christian and not mm-hmm. what specifically I looked like, how I dressed.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And so that was a tough one. But then I took it off, and a couple months later, I was like, no, I'm okay. Because I prayed for you months after. I said, if you want me to put it back on, I 100% will. Like,
yeah.
You show me.
Right.
That you want me to put it back on. I'm there.
Right. That's amazing. And I love the fact that you, to use your words, like, you knew that all the rules were bullshit. Just kind of the whole time. I feel like for me, I thought they were God's law, you know, and you got to do this, otherwise you're not a Christian. But I love that you knew the logic was not logicking the whole time, you know?
Yes.
I love that.
But I don't regret those years that I stayed.
Yeah.
Years. I thought that if I waited long enough, if I had a good attitude, if I would explain it to them, then they would understand.
Right.
But, like, I was 25. I was making my own money. I was independent.
Your frontal lobe was fully developed?
I was an adult. And I thought that if I would explain where I was coming from, understand. It was not in the cards. It was not possible. There's no way. I do not know how I could have done it better.
Right. Absolutely.
And they never told me how I could do it better. It just is what it is.
Right. Some people are just, they're just not going to be happy with you no matter what you do.
They're not going to be able to accept that someone who's not doing exactly what they are could still be running along.
Right.
Could still be walking with the Lord. Could still be a Christian.
Sadness.
I think you said a lot of really good things today, and it's changed. It's like helped my perspective a lot for sure.
Right? Why don't we let her talk more?
No.
Now we missed out. Now everybody else is gonna miss out.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She had like 2 minutes of talking time.
I know. You and I were both just like over here talking about
fixing
guys, and I don't know.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
And now we're doing it again.
This is all I wanted. This just
you just wanted a conversation.
Well, what about what we want? Have you ever thought about that? No. I don't care what you want. I don't really care.
It never entered. Never entered my mind. It's like, they fucking get along with whatever they give them.
Period.
And that's how to live.
Right.
Yeah. It was lovely having you on, Rubes.
It was fun to be here.
Same.
And I didn't zone out one time.
Right? You didn't. You did look at your phone a couple times. What? That's true. You weren't zoned out the whole time. Usually you zone out like a couple times.
Over here during to ignore me.
I could, trust.
Maybe it's the tea. Maybe the black tea just like helped your brain. But also, how can you not listen when Rubes is talking?
How can you not see God? You know this one?
No. Actually, yes. But I don't remember the rest of it.
There's a little part.
Well, I'm so excited that I'm going to see girls tonight, too.
We have to pray.
Can't wait. Okay. Yeah. Rubes, will you pray for everybody on the podcast?
Let's do this.
Okay. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being a personal God, having a relationship with each and every one of us. And, you know, as you said in the beginning, that's why you created us. But thank you for being with each and every one of us in our difficult days and in the good days, and help us to appreciate and hold on to the good moments like this one. Thank you for everyone who's here with us listening. Thank you for sitting with us through all of that. We pray that you feel loved and taken care of in your life. In Jesus' name,
amen.